Good morning. Don't you just want to keep singing? Amen. I loved all those selections. Just amazing. We all have such a good time singing. I just love to hear the singing here. God is just blessing us. One of the brothers said, look at all the children going to the children's Bible hour. All the children. Bring the children. Bring the children, bring the children. It's so amazing. I love to hear the babies make noises and the kids kind of move around. I know it's unnerving for parents that the kids move around, but that's a good sound and that's good movement. Because Jesus says, don't turn away the children. Bring them. Bring the children, please. Please bring the children. We appreciate everybody for being here this morning. We want to continue dealing with prayer. And this morning, I want to talk about the principles of prayer. The principles of prayer. So the full benefit of prayer comes only with the principles, as we're going to observe. Principles, first of all, laid down by Jesus and his inspired apostles, and then principles that determine the final outcome of our prayers. So first of all, the first principle of prayer I want to deal with this morning is we must pray in faith. We must pray in faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We've got to have faith. We've got to have faith when we are praying. In Hebrews 11 and 6, as we noted this morning in our class, it says that we've got to have faith in God. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you can turn your Bible there if you will. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not half-heartedly seek him, but it says diligently seek him. So we've got to have faith. We've got to have faith. We must have faith as we're praying to God. So prayer requires faith. If we turn our Bibles over to Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, we'll begin there. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. I try to repeat the passages so you can write it down or you can keep up with me or turn over there. But Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Here it says, And in all things you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive it. So when you're praying, you need to believe that God can say yes, that God can provide what you are asking of him. Because you're special. See, we've got to recognize who we are to God. God loves each and every one of us. See, we've got to understand who we are and who we belong to when we're praying. And we have that faith. In Romans 10, 17, the writer says, what? Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's King James Version. But you've got to read. You got to open up that Bible. I like the way we can sometimes just push play on our electronic devices and hear God's word. But when you read God's word, I like to read it out loud. I like to hear God's word out loud because I want to drown out all the other noise. And so we've got to have faith when we are praying. We've got to have that faith. Also look at what James says in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8 states. The young man read that earlier. But James chapter 1, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Listen to what the writer says. He says here in James chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, he says, But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men, how? Generously, liberally, and without reproach. And it will be given him. But let him ask how. How should we ask God? It says we need to ask of God in faith. You've got to have the faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from God, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we've got to have faith in God. So that's the first principle of prayer. You need to have faith. You need to have faith in God. You need to believe that God will answer your prayer, that God has the ability to answer your prayer, your prayer, your prayer. All of us, all of our prayers. You know what's so significant about me pointing at everybody? It's because God knows that you're significant. But you need to have faith. You need to have faith. So that when you're praying for me, you're praying in faith. You're praying for Solomon. You have faith. Amen? You follow what I'm saying? You got to have that faith when you're praying to God. Number two this morning, we must pray with humility. Now, from the start here, I want to tell you what I think about humility. Humility, I say, always gives you ability. Humility gives you the ability to do what God wants you to do in your life. It takes humility to become a child of God, to say that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Amen? It takes humility to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus' name, and then to submit to being baptized in a watery grave of baptism. That takes humility. But it also takes humility when we are praying to God. We need to recognize that God is and how valuable he is. So I want us to turn over to Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, if you will. Isaiah 57. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Here he writes, he says, "For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." See, God is looking for humble folks, people that are honest with where they are. We need to recognize who we are in comparison to God. We need to come to him in recognizing that God is our God. We are dependent on God. Now, we can do a lot of things in our lives. We do a lot of extraordinary things, but we couldn't do them without God. We cannot do it without God. It's because of God that we're able to do this, that, and the other. We need to say more often, "I'm going over here if the Lord allows me to go." We need to recognize God in everything. We need to be more detailed in saying that, because sometimes we've just gotten so comfortable with, "I'll be over here at church at 11 o'clock. I'll be over here in this place, and I'm traveling here, and I'm going to buy here, and I'm going to sell here." And you know how the writer of James says? We can get so carried away in what I'm going to do. But everything that we do, we need to recognize that it's because God has provided us the privilege and the ability to do that. And it's the same with prayer. We've got to come humbly to the throne of God. We've got to be humble. We've got to recognize God as being God, that he's a holy God. He's a mighty and holy God. And we need to, as we're praying, we need to have humility. Because that humility gives us the ability to be who we need to be. I want to give an example here about somebody that was humble in prayer. But let's look over at Luke chapter 18, if you will. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. Luke chapter 18. Many are familiar with this text. as you have two men praying, as Jesus is telling this story. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. Luke chapter 18, looking at verses 9 through 14, and here he says, Luke chapter 18, verse 9, he says, "And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt." It says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get.' But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Amen. Let God be praised. We need to be humble. We need to be humble. Let's not get in that arrogant bubble, because the bubble always bursts. Let's just be humble, because humility gives us ability. God can work with somebody that's humble. Have you ever worked with a humble person? Somebody that has humility? You can just work there. You can make mistakes. They'll say, "Okay, come on, let's go this way." A humble person is easier to work with. An arrogant person is very challenging. People say you're on those pins and needles. Walk around. You don't even know what's going to happen next. You don't know if their anger is going to lash out at you. But we need to be humble when we're praying. Humility gives ability. Remember that. We've got to be humble. So with faith and humility before God, we're prepared to pray with the proper disposition. See, there's a disposition you've got to have when you come to our God. Amen? When we're praying, we don't want to be like the Pharisee. We want to be like the tax gatherer. Amen? Because he was humble. So we've got to have the faith and humility before God. And the next is, number three, we must pray in harmony with God's will. We've got to pray in harmony with God's will. Now, just to start off in dealing with this one, we're not going to pray prayers that say, "Lord, help me to fly like a bird." I just wanted to see if y'all were awake. We're not going to say those type of prayers. We already know that's a no-go. We're going to have to get in that big old 747 and that big bus 320 or something like that, and we can fly. And I still don't understand all of the way that big thing flies in the air. But God's will in our prayers. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, if you will. 1 John 5, 14. First John 5:14. First John 5:14. Here he says, 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." He says, "If we," that's talking about us, those who are in Christ, "if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." He recognizes us. He hears that prayer. That's very powerful, isn't it? Look at James 4:3, if you will. We came across this morning in Bible class. Look at James 4:3. James 4:3. Now listen to this. Actually, we didn't look at this one, but listen to what James says. He says, "You ask and do not receive." Why? Why don't you receive? Because you ask with wrong what? You're asking with wrong motives. What you're asking for, you're not trying to use it to the glory of God. Listen on. So that you may spend it on your what? Your lust, your pleasures. In other words, not for the glory of God. See, if you're a child of God, you said that you crucified the flesh. You're no longer living for yourself anymore. You are living for Christ for the rest of your life, all the way into eternity. Isn't that what we agreed to? So our motives need to line up with God's motives. So when we're praying, we should be in line with God all the time. What kind of life is that going to be? In line with God all the way. All of our prayers. We've gotten rid of all of our pleasures. We're not even thinking about our pleasures no more. If you're not there, you need to strive to get there. Amen? We all need to strive to get better. Amen? We're going to do more in 2024, aren't we? Isn't that the goal? Isn't that why you're here? This is training. Amen? We're training to be better for Christ, for God. Amen? This is what this is all about. We're training. And so we need to make sure that as we are praying that our prayers are aligning with God. We need to know what God's will is. We need to pray in alignment with God. Let's look at what Jesus did in the garden. Look over at Luke chapter 22, verse 42. We all are familiar with this. Luke 22, 42. Luke 22, 42. Now, this is humility in action here. Luke 22, 42. He says, saying, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me." Listen now. "Yet not my will, but thine be done." I'm so glad that Jesus decided to follow the will of the Father. And just think of it, the impact of us doing the will of the Father, not only on our lives, but the lives of people that we interact with on a daily basis. If we're praying in this manner, and our will lining up with God's will, and we're praying for people, think about the effect of your prayer, the power of your prayer. Think about that. Think about that. Say that you want to get better in 24. You want to do more in your prayer life in 2024. This is how you can do it. Make sure your prayers are lining up with God's will. So with faith in God and humility toward him, we will gladly yield to his will for us. But now let's also look at, we must pray with thanksgiving. We need to pray with thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving, very important. Let's look at Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20. He says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Always giving thanks. We got to always give thanks. Also, we can look over at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, how? By prayer and supplication. What's the next ingredient? What's the ingredient you need to add to that? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. So we've got to pray with thanksgiving. It's very important. We got to have the attitude of gratitude. We got to have that good attitude there. And finally, this morning we want to look at, we must pray in the name of Jesus. We need to pray in the name of Jesus. We look over at John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. We'll see what Jesus is saying to his disciples here. John chapter 14, looking at verses 13 and 14. Here he says in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 13, he says, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me, we're talking about Jesus, anything in my name, I will what? I will do it. Remember, I asked in class this morning, I said, how many of the answered prayers can you write down or can you remember? Some people say it's too many to write down. How many times have you prayed? Just think about it. Go back 5 years. How long would it take you to write down all those answered prayers? Amen. I mean, all of us. I'm just looking at all the people that Jesus died for. I'm looking at all the ones in this room. And that's all of you. He died for everybody in here. Wow. That's a lot of praying. That's a lot of listening. Just the representation of all of you here. He's got a big ear. Or ears. I don't know how God hears. But, you know, from the fleshly perspective, we're thinking ears, you know. Sometimes when you hear your kids talking at once, you're like, you can almost hear the distinctiveness between all the different babies. The different children. You know which one is crying. I even knew one time, even the kids walking upstairs, I knew their walk. You know, it's like, oh, I think Jedediah is getting up, honey. Oh, that's Hannah. She's going this way. Or that's Phoebe doing that. Oh, no, that's Joseph, you know. And I even knew Sarah's walk, too. I mean, but we're talking about God. God knows every one of our voices. What does that do for you? I mean, I'm overwhelmed in thinking about how precious I am to God. And then not just me, but all of you. You're precious. And so when you're praying, you've got to pray in faith. You must pray with humility. You must pray in harmony with the will of God. You must pray with thanksgiving. You must pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Just thankful that he died for us. He died for me. He died for you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, every time you feel down, think about what Jesus has done for you. Sometimes people say, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for Jesus lately? Because he died on the cross for you. He was buried. He rose again on the third day for you. He ascended into heaven to make intercession for those that are already in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you need to get in Christ today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Don't leave here today if you're not a child of God. You need to obey the gospel. How do you do that? You hear the word. You hear the gospel message that Jesus died on the cross for you. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. You need to repent of your sins. That means you're going to stop looking at sin as something that you do. And you want to live for Jesus for the rest of your life, avoiding sin. Confess Jesus' name and then be baptized in a watery grave of baptism. And you come out of that liquid tomb a new creature in Christ. Amen. Amen. Walking a new life. Your friends say, who is that? Because you've changed. They come and say, they give you a call or a text, man, you coming over to this? I don't do that anymore. Are you coming to church with me? You need to obey the gospel. Amen? Amen. Whatever your need is this morning, why don't you come forward as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.